Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It all happens according to plan. That is, it all happens according to the Old Testament scriptures. Lamb of God, Jesus is crucified between two criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus is in the middle. This fulfills what the scriptures had spoken, and he was numbered with the transgressors. What the soldiers did with his clothes, it fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." He fulfilled Psalm 69:12 when he called out, "I thirst." He praised Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He even says, "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer from Psalm 31. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," thereby fulfilling it. When he declares, "It is finished," God's promise in the scriptures to save all sinners by the blood of the Passover lamb is fulfilled. And even as it all comes to a close, when the soldiers fail to break his legs and when one slashes open Lamb of God Jesus' side, Exodus 12:46, Numbers 9:12, Psalm 34:20, and Zechariah 12:10 are all accomplished. It becomes very hard to deny that God didn't have a hand in the Old Testament. Jesus speaks, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," and he reveals that he lives and dies according to God's word. He receives the scripture, that is the Bible, as God's very word that is spoken to him. All the preaching from the Old Testament, all of those times that Mary and Joseph took him to the synagogue that he might hear the scriptures read, he realized what the Bible was. It's not just some sort of self-help book that we sort of pick and choose what sort of advice we want to take out of. He recognized this book as God's voice speaking directly to him. There is no other word by which Jesus lives and no other word by which he dies. No matter how tempting or pleasing any other sermon might be, he doesn't give it his ear. And as we look at this crucifixion account, there are plenty of other sermons being spoken to him. Words of mockery and ridicule from the onlookers. "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and raise it up in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Bring yourself off of the cross." We have the chief priests and scribes. "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe. Let God deliver him." Even the soldiers. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And even the criminals who are crucified on either side of him. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." You notice the theme in all of these sermons, this theme that keeps coming up over and over again, is this. "Hey, Son of God." "Hey, Jesus," right? "King of the Jews. You're God, aren't you? We have better words for you to trust in. Save yourself like you did so many in your ministry. Hop off the cross. Just be done with this whole spectacle. Be done with all of these humiliating actions. Just cut it out. Pull the nails out of the cross. Heal your wounds and be done with it. Stop all the bleeding. Stop all the pain. Be a real Messiah, because that's not how Messiahs act. Cut it out." They've all become instruments of Satan, voicing Satan's words, tempting Jesus. Even as he's bleeding and dying, Jesus is being tempted to remove himself from God's word. We can't help but notice the similarities. We too have many false preachers come to us. The devil still sends his preachers to bring doubt onto God's word. Now, I know many of you sitting here will hear God's word every single Sunday. I know many of you sitting here study God's word every single day. But how loud are Satan's preachers when we turn on the TV, when we turn on the radio, when we open a magazine, when we go to work, when we follow our favorite sports teams, or when we participate in any organization, or possibly even amongst the friends that we associate with? Satan has so many more preachers than God, it's ridiculous. And so it's very, very tempting for us to give in. It's tempting for us to forsake God's word, because why? Well, it'd be far more enjoyable and far easier just for us to leave it all behind, to listen to Satan's preachers, to finally give in. You see, the preachers at the bottom of Jesus' cross who are standing there at his feet, and the preachers in our own life all try to do the same thing. They try to pull off the one trick that Satan has. Did God really say? Did God really say this or that or whatever it may be? This is how God, or this is how Satan duped Adam and Eve, right? Did God really say you shouldn't eat from the tree? Did God really say that Jesus must be hanged on the cross? Did God really say that he must be numbered amongst the transgressors? Come on, Jesus! Certainly God didn't mean all of those things when he said them. It goes against all the rules. After all, Jesus, you are holy. You are innocent. You are sinless. And we all know that God is just. So why would he condemn you to the cross? God has obviously been lying to you, Jesus. So save yourself. Isn't it the same thing that we are tempted with over and over again? Because it seems so much more enjoyable just to give in. Just to leave God's word behind, just for a few moments, so we can give in to the sin, so that we can do what feels good rather than what God says. But where you and I might fail, Jesus has none of it. He won't save himself because he has come to save you. Because he came to save sinners. And so he takes all of the Holy Spirit-filled scriptures, and that is what he listens to. And that is what he fulfills. And in doing so, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sin and my sin and everybody's sin. And so what does Jesus do as he hears all of these different sermons hitting him, contradicting everything he's heard throughout his entire life by the voice of God? Jesus does nothing. He just hangs there, bleeding, suffering, dying. Because that's how Jesus saves sinners. And that's where he becomes sin for you. After all, we do get to hear Jesus confess himself as a sinner. My God, why have you forsaken me? God turns his back on Jesus. God is utterly forsaking his son. But Jesus knows this is what it takes to be the Lamb of God. And so he does it. He fulfills the scripture in his living and his suffering and his dying for you. Which means today there is a good message that we get to leave on. Blessed are you. Because you have no sin. Jesus does. Your sin is no longer yours. You are forgiven because Jesus has paid the price for you. How do I know? God speaks. And he speaks to you through his word, his promise. His divine word. It's not just some sort of self-help advice, but this is God speaking directly to you. He says, whoever believes in this Jesus and is baptized will be saved. He says, Jesus, body and blood offered and shed on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is a guarantee that you are forgiven. My friends, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Therefore, your baptism, the supper, the word, it still grants faith and strengthens you in this Jesus Christ, who is truly the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.